I'm recording.
You are?
I am. I just started, though. I haven't been recording the whole time.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's fine if you were, but I am now recording.
Do you ever worry about that when you talk with people on Skype? If they're recording you or not?
I am so paranoid, I assume people are.
That's probably a good assumption to make, actually. Are you really that paranoid?
Yeah.
Oh.
I really am. It's something that broke in me a few years back when I was designing very secure network systems. So, and I went to a week-long hacker boot camp and all this crap, and I'm not saying I'm all that, you know, I'm elite. No, not really. I just I learned enough to be I can critique systems pretty well and assess vulnerabilities and try to code things that are not that vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And in the process, I don't see how you can do that without getting a little paranoid.
That's probably a good attitude to have in terms of communicating over networks, just in general, especially in light of certain news recently. But I think about some of the things that I say when I'm just on like a phone call or a Skype call, and I'm like, and I think, yeah, if they recorded that, that could be bad. So anyway,
I'm not. Yeah, I know exactly. Well, and of course, right. One of the other things I learned too that is that nothing gets done without trust.
Yeah,
because we can't interact anywhere without somehow believing that our intent is going to be well matched with the intent of who we're interacting with, and through that trust we can get things done.
Nothing gets done without trust. God, you're just a machine for cranking out those one sentence lines. Nothing gets done without trust. I'm going to hang on to that. Okay, so I've got a fun idea for this extra lean. All right, you ready?
Yes.
I just sent you a link. And cool. You said before we started recording, we were talking about something completely unrelated, but we as an analogy for the thing we were discussing, we talked about King Theoden from The Lord of the Rings saying, perhaps we will die today, but perhaps we'll make such a death it'll be worth a song. And so I want to talk about pain, Rob. I want to talk about pain. And I bring this up. I bring this up
cool.
only because it came across one of my feeds. A friend posted it. This is not out of my personal life. Life, for the most part, is going pretty awesome right now. I've got no complaints. With all good things comes stress. But
yeah,
this is not me saying like, I've been dealing with this lately, Rob, and I just want to get this out of my system, be cathartic about it. No, I'm actually in a really good mood, and I think that's what will make talking about this topic all the more fun. And this is a silly, dumb, cathartic topic that many of the leaners, I'm sure, will relate to. So it's just a dumb article. What is this? What is this on? Us versus them.com, them with an E, already. You're getting me to sign off.
With a three, yeah. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, but 19 ways to make an illustrator grind their teeth to bloody stumps, right? This is totally like oatmeal material. But, number one, we don't have the budget to pay you, but it's great exposure. Like things that artists make artists and illustrators just cringe. And man, we just had that conversation with Ryan Estrada, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering.
Oh yeah, and he's got that great source of now how he's gathering them and giving them voice and performing it. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
which is a great outlet for that.
Is there somebody who does what you do but cheaper? I've actually heard that line before.
Oh <yeah. laughs> great. That's a client. Great client there.
Any that you were responding to?
These are it's funny. I mean, I don't know. It is very, like, you're right. I mean, this is super oatmeal like, where it's hitting the emotional hot button over and over in a sequence of more and more provocative posts.
Number nine. Oh, this one hurts. Number nine.
Number nine. 8, 9. I want some changes. Make it different in some way.
Oh my God.
It's difficult. So like, I mean, so much of what we do, like when, When I run into this kind of thing and I hear what, you know, kind of some of your setup, it reminds me of a lot of artists get into what they do based on, well, a lot of people get into what they do, I would say, based on intrinsic motivations. They like it somehow, or something about it they liked, and then they got into it enough to make it a profession, maybe, and hopefully they still like it. because now something that what changes is you go from doing it for an intrinsic reason to now an at least partially extrinsic motivation to where, well, I need to pay the rent and I need to get groceries and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the classic frame up I think of when you get the whole, you know, that you get a client who may be saying, you're part of an equation and I'm going to optimize your side to be small. And as small as I can get it, because I want to hold on to my money. And oh my word, I've run into this show. I haven't watched a whole episode, but a show called Shark Tank, and it just kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, I used to watch that show quite a bit.
Oh, funny. And someone just showed me some YouTube clips to contextualize a conversation where I was like, I don't know what pop culture is. And they're like, hey.
No, yeah. you just have your pop culture is kind of Canadian. It's got its own character and flavor. Don't take it in any way that it's intended. I just mean, like, mm-hmm. I'm making an analogy here. It's got its own culture and flavor, and you know, you spell color with a U.
Yeah,
right.
I guess I have some. Sure, I have
you,
some.
You referenced the Matrix earlier, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure, but that's, yeah, I don't know. The Matrix isn't exactly topical.
My references are either. I referenced Greta Garbo at the beginning of our meeting today.
But that's historical. No, that's classic. Right?
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. But anyway.
All right. So, yeah, you got what? Yeah.
So
you're hitting all these emotional buttons, Jersey. Why are you hitting my buttons?
I want some changes, make it different in some way. This is one of the most painful things. I mean, I still even, you know, recently was hearing things like this, like, you need to look at the reference, right? Okay, I looked at the reference. What specifically would you ask me to change in this? I don't know. Look at the reference. Make it look like the reference, right? That's not helping me, you know? And, I mean, I don't want to demonize anybody. I don't want to say that these people are stupid because they don't understand. I'm just saying this is part of the deal that comes with being an artist, right? Is that you have to deal with people who are not artists, don't have the language, don't have the training in order to understand how to give you proper direction sometimes, right? And it's frustrating, that's all. And this is just funny. But this one I actually heard very recently, a variation on this, number 11.
I must be so nice. Oh, it, okay.
It should say it.
Yeah, okay, it must be so nice to draw pictures all day. I have to work for a living.
And then they have Gordon Ramsay. A GIF of Gordon Ramsay saying words that I don't say, even when I'm in mixed company or company of friends. But no, I had a guy say to me, talking about, like, jobs, talking about how people change careers every couple years these days. And then he turns to me very, you know, not in any kind of... he didn't mean any harm, right? Mm-hmm. Turns to me and he says, like, I don't know if what you do would be called a job, but, you know. And I was like, dude, you just insulted me. I laughed and I said, like, oh, you've been talking to my parents. But it was still incredibly insulting, right? And, like, I don't know. I probably do that to somebody. I probably look at what somebody does and be like, that's not a job. I don't know. But it's just so weird how that, and the guy I was talking with was under 40, right? Like, it's not like he came from a previous generation but in the last 2-3 generations, art was considered like a valuable thing, right?
Yeah.
But it points to this more demonic thing that it's not the people, it's the evil thought that, like, whatever we enjoy can't possibly be work. And you can't work hard at something you enjoy, right? That's
yeah,
a sinister thing.
It is. Yeah, I mean, I suppose that is the cultural virus kind of thing.
Yeah,
that we're characterizing, which is silly because, I mean, I think I was actually recently looking back at our Lean Into Art podcast feed, mm-hmm. Actually, I built a crawler that crawled our podcast feed because I was trying to prepare for a podcast and remember what we've talked about over 80-some episodes, 85, 86 episodes. Yep. And
oh my God, is it that many already?
Holy yeah. Cow. And we even slowed the pace because, well, hey, welcome to Extra Lean. So now we don't come out with roughly four a month. It's about two.
Yeah.
So yeah, and even then we're still about at 85 or 86.
Bonkers.
And what was I thinking with that?
Oh, you were crawling.
One of the older premises was the main job that we do is typically wrapped up in, and it has to integrate with a bunch of other jobs. And it's like, so if you're like, oh, I'm an artist, and it's like, you're going to be interacting, you're wearing multiple hats and being multidisciplined is we're basically doing like an off the cuff manifesto for being multidisciplined, right?
That was the gist. You got to pick one word and you are that thing. And if you don't commit to just being that thing, you have failed, my friend. You are a failure. Hello. How did you say it? Welcome to failure. What was it that you said? It was so good. We are sitting in a room with failure. That's what it was.
So a lot of people, when they say failure, that immediately has a high severity attached to it, right?
Yep.
Where I don't know, for me, I don't, and maybe it's my paranoia or whatever, but I hear that failure and I'm like, well, I'll assign severity to it. Let's see what happens. Right.
Yeah.
Forgot what I was doing with that. It might be so nice to draw pictures. Oh yeah. I was thinking another thing it reminds me of is like, we simplify what everyone else does. Everyone does this, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you just got to code the thing. How to code those things, right? Yeah, you like it. And you know, it's easy for you. So, you know, it's fine to just get it done by the calendar that I'm familiar with, not the job that I'm not familiar with that I should probably get some more input on. You know, you can get it done by tomorrow, right? Or Friday at the latest.
Yeah.
Whatever. Which, as we're recording this, coincidentally, is the same day. It's everyone else's work is simpler, but and I don't know. So where were you going to go with that? You were like hitting on the more of the hot button of pleasure, and somehow engaging in trade with something that's pleasurable isn't really work. So you're lucky. You just won the lottery, right?
Yeah.
You draw stuff.
And, you know, I mean, it's, to be clear, it's not that part of why I think when people get defensive about this is the problem with defensiveness is that it suggests that you feel an inherent insecurity about it, right? When people say to me, oh, that sounds like fun. What do you do for a real job? I don't go, oh, well, excuse me, madam, you know, it's more of a...
I find her people too harumph at harumph.
Right. And like when that guy said that thing to me and he said, like, I don't know if what you do is called a job, but I laughed at it. I laughed at it because it was a guy being human. Like, as you pointed out, we oversimplify what everybody else does. Yeah, absolutely. But the part I get angry with is the viral part. Like what you were talking about, like this viral nature of this idea that permeates that having a good time doing something means that you are not working at it, right? If you enjoy it, it is not work. If you find pleasure in doing the thing, it can't possibly be a real job, right? Going back to something that somebody once said to me that really stuck with me is they said to me, don't be happy, be real. And I was like, wow, we're done. You found the magic spell to make me unplug from your presence. Say those words. Say them and mean them, and I will vanish.
That's the reverse genie.
But okay, here's something else that a friend of mine wrote recently. He was quoting something that he heard, and he said, "What you hold unimportant, I have overvalued, and what you have held important, I have overlooked." That's a nice little lesson in humility, you know, I think that's really what is part of the whole package here. I was just trying to be cathartic and talk about just funny things that people say, but I'm glad that you took us back into a more adult or responsible discussion. Number 17. Let's talk about number 17. This is kind of related. You looking at it? Okay.
Yeah. Shut down. Boom. Whole computer crashed.
Oh, you crashed.
I crashed.
Oh.
Crazy. Okay. So, yeah. And I would, and I'm recording again right now, but like that file, and I also verified if I had had the rest of the recording, and I don't.
All right. Well, I got it.
Yay for redundancy. Gosh, that's nuts.
Bonkers. So anyway.
All right. We're good. I don't remember exactly where I left off, but you were, no, the cathartic thing. I mean, I'm a party pooper in that way because I constantly critique my own emotional reaction to things habitually. That's just a Robism. That's a quirk. I do that, and I made a career out of it as a user experience designer because what that does is it helps me not jump out of windows when trying to collaborate with groups of disparate people like that just have very different outlooks on things. And I try to find the commonality. I try to make myself more aware of my own biases when I'm like, oh my God, I hate that. So like, why is this person talking about it? I'm like, okay, now I need to, like, why am I reacting like this? And so what is essential to that? And I don't know if that sounds inhuman or stupid, but
no, not even close. That sounds like being a proper adult.
I think being a proper adult would probably mean I would care a little bit less about that stuff, but I don't know.
Oh man. I don't,
maybe. I don't know.
You're in dangerous waters now, my friend, because, okay. Let me preface this by saying that there's a difference between caring a lot and acting on those feelings, right?
Yeah.
And you care too much? I don't know. It depends on how you execute that caring, right?
Well, I mean, so for me, here's what, to excuse it a little, or this is, you know, I'm often in situations where I'll be in rooms full of people with outlooks not too different than the page you send a link to, right? Yeah. And some of it, at the very least, where it's like you'll have these different groups that won't necessarily be honoring each other much at all, yet need to freaking work together. And so, yeah, I find it handy to be able to try to find some kind of freaking common ground among those disparate outlooks. And also some awareness of one another's outlooks. And I don't know if, for instance, let's see, I'm trying to projects would be a great thing to use as examples, but I don't want to do that. But for instance, if you bring someone from a finance department, a legal department, marketing, and technology, and, you know, different kinds of technology, which have way different cultures, like database people are often a bit different culture than server and, you know, infrastructure people, and then there's anyway, but then coders are different than, I don't know.
Well, actually, this
architects
goes
to- and so many different personalities and styles and experiences and what rituals, what they hold dear and aren't necessarily lined to like the whole reason why people came together. And so a lot of times people vilify like, oh, it's groupthink and groupthink is bad or whatever. But like, if you do that well, you know, like solo think can be pretty weak too. And so if you do like get a group of disparate people together and do something well, you can come up with kind of amazing inventions sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. It doesn't happen that often, but sometimes you can. Mm-hmm. Things like, I'm just going to say it, screw it. Things like forming a new country
can
come out of that, right?
Oh, yeah. I agree. And okay, here we go. Now you're tickling my patriotic bone.
Cool.
If the founding dudes, for better or worse, it was all dudes. If they decided to put up a page that just had 19 things that that really irk us about the British monarchy, right? Well, actually, they kind of did.
Yeah, and I bet they vented, and it's good to vent. So I think it's fine. Like, you know what? We talked about an example where I did this. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I drew a not kind sketch of someone that was ticking me off, and I felt awesome about it. Yeah. I didn't share it with anybody.
Right.
But.
No, and even in this list, in their defense, it says the author of this article is available for commissions. We're not really that bitter, just having a bad day, and writing this was therapeutic. Did it need to be shared? That's up for debate. It makes other people who have experienced this laugh, because it is nice to know that you're not alone sometimes. Right?
Totally.
It didn't offer any solutions. It just said, look at this. It's the difference between, what's this? Oh, God, not this again. Versus, all right, this is irritating. And let's acknowledge that. Let's own it. And then let's look at how we can fix it, right?
And sometimes we just need to listen to that. And that's awesome. Like, someone expressed, holy crap, I'm having a bad day, and I'm going to make fun of who I sat next to on the bus or whatever, right? And that rocks, right? And so we don't always have to have someone come up with solutions and try to map all the stupid perspectives together either.
True. But yeah. So. I think it's funny is that sort of what you're pointing back at is what's annoying us is that other people are not being as receptive and open-minded and compassionate or empathetic toward us, and, right? That's what's so irritating, and then by being that guy who is hyper analytical and analyzes his emotional reaction to everything that happens to him, you are in a privileged place to be able to say when somebody leverages that at you. And I think that I'm going to give myself credit and say that I think I was too when that guy said that insulting thing to me about my career, and I laughed it off, was because I knew that he doesn't understand. He doesn't have the context and life experience to be able to understand what goes into what I do. He sees it as me having a good time.